For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Exaltation is a very important thing in matters spiritual. Important, in fact, in so much of life. Fame exalts and gives us people to look up to. So do those enormous, glamorous heads and bodies on 40-foot-high banners that we look up to as we walk on the top level of the Eaton Center. Some objects are better than others, but we want to raise up or people or things to raise our eyes to exalt, to raise on high, to praise. Arthur Koestler had an idea that people, like all entities that are parts of larger entities and at the same time contain smaller entities, that are, in other words, both wholes and parts, have two competing tendencies: self-assertion and self-transcendence. Self-assertion insists on individuality, separateness, distinction. Self-transcendence looks to the greater whole and releases the insistent individuality. Now, as humans, we have bodies that are, to all ordinary appearances, physically discrete, separate. Self-assertion comes naturally to them. But we seek self-transcendence in community and in religion and the spiritual. The ultimate realization of that would be the complete letting go of self into the larger unity of all, or in self-sacrifice. And one way we can begin to let go of ourselves is by exalting others. And now, what can you do that exalts another or others and thus humbles you, lets go of your self-assertion, but that at the same time, by the power of that, also allows you to partake in that exaltation? I can think of nothing better to recommend than to sing. Music is the voice of exaltation. St. Augustine of Hippo is often quoted as having said, "Who sings prays twice." This is not actually to be found in his writings, although it remains valuable nonetheless. Something doesn't need to be said by someone famous to be worth saying. Now, certainly, I don't think that those who quote this mean to suggest that Britney Spears was praying twice when she sang, "Hit me, baby, one more time." But if you sing praise, if you sing exaltation, you exalt doubly, which works well with what Augustine did write. For who sings praise, that's P-R-A-I-S-E, the noun, for who sings praise, not only praises, but praises joyously. Who sings praise, not only sings, but also loves the one sung for. And why is this? Because music is the exaltation of speech. Music is the exaltation of speech. Music is the exaltation of speech. Speech has its intonations, which we use to express attitudes and emotions. Music takes those intonations and does to them what dreams and memories do to life, what a still does to wine: distillation, heightening, focusing. We can express quite a bit about something in our speech simply by choice of intonation. Take the line from the psalm, "Happy are those who live in your house." It seems straightforward, but there's a lot that can be done with it. I'm going to just try to give you examples without using my face and hands too much, which is very difficult for me personally. "Happy are those who live in your house." Happy are those who live in your house. 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 Of course, singing does it very well. Music can communicate quite a lot. You don't need to understand the words to know the tenor of this tune. "Quid quid adest homo gaude, presulades dignis laude, omni ordo gratulare suffale, nunc est dignum exultare si mantane." Those who know Latin, Well, no, that your impression is accurate. That is a very exultative tune. Music can also be used ironically. The British singer Lily Allen is famous for her peppy, cheery songs with vulgar, cynical, even vindictive lyrics. At first, when I see you cry, it makes me smile. Yeah, it makes me smile. At worst, I feel bad for a while, but then I just smile. I go ahead and smile. And music has had still greater powers ascribed to it. In Indian classical music, each raga, which is not a melody per se, but really a mode, a sort of formula for extemporization, is associated with a mood and a time of day, and sometimes even more. Raga Deepak is not performed at all because it can cause fire. There is a story of a singer who performed it standing in a river, but who still burst into flames. Jim Morrison ain't got nothing on that one. Come on, baby, light my... Well, music has certainly been linked to many flames, old and new. It can light up a new romance. Strangers in the night exchanging glances. It can help bring back an old one. So don't let them begin the begin. Let the love that was once a fire remain an ember. Let it sleep like the dead desire I only remember when they begin the begin. Music and memory have a strong link, and I'm sure each of you has songs that have strong, specific memories attached to them. And music can fan flames. Certainly in Calgary, you can see Flames fans getting worked up with the aid of the right music. Let's go, Calgary, let's go. And music is sometimes blamed for engendering violence. There have been some rather nasty events at some concerts. Certainly there is music that expresses aggression. I can tell you that there's music that makes me drive faster. And music that can get me or any of many other people all charged up about something. I was thinking of singing you an example or two, but you know what? I'll spare you. They're really not appropriate for a church. So now how can there be self-transcendence in aggression or violence? Oh, but there can be. Mobs riot much worse than individuals. You become the part of the larger thing. And a person can draw a very strong negative energy from a greater source just as surely as a strong positive one. You let go some of your individuality, your here-now-ness, to connect to this conduit, whatever the conduit carries. Now, of course, many powerful songs are associated with someone famous. And so many people would love to be a famous singer. Idolizing these singers is self-transcendent, yes, but what's it like for the singer? What if you won American Idol when you're up there singing in front of all those screaming, cheering fans? Now, how is that self-transcendent at all? Well, the singer is the lightning rod, but the music is the lightning. You can praise the plug, but the music is the electricity. You can praise the lens, but the music is still the light. But yes, there are different kinds of power, and there are different shades and colors of light. What are you transcending yourself towards? You know, you can know a lot about a church from the kind of music they sing. I've been to some churches where they spend a pretty good piece of the service singing choruses like this. He is mighty, he is worthy, I will praise him, for he is the Lord over all. Come on, everybody, join in. He is mighty, he is worthy, I will praise him, for he is the Lord over all. Now, the words are triumphal, but it's really the music that sets just how triumphal they are. I mean, compare this one, a lovely piece by Carrie Landry. Dance in the darkness, slow be the pace, surrender to the rhythm of redeeming grace. Join. Dance in the darkness, slow be the pace, surrender to the rhythm of redeeming grace. Now that's a different mood, isn't it? Try those words to the other melody. Dance in the darkness, slow be the pace, surrender to the rhythm of redeeming grace. Or what about some words that express despair? Try these three versions. You might have heard all of them. By the waters of Babylon, we laid down and wept for Zion. We remember Zion. Or there's one from Godspell. On the willows there, we hung up our lives, for our captors there required of us song and a tormentor's mirth. Or, you know this one, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, there we wept, when we remembered Zion. Same source, not same music. Me personally, I've always liked music that expresses yearning, uncertainty, doubt, also faith, but music that doesn't say everything is always smooth and everything will always go great. Music that acknowledges what it's like to be a human. Some days I'm really in the mood for one like this. What I've felt, what I've known, never shine through what I've shown. Never be, never see, won't see what might have been. What I've felt, what I've known, never shine through what I've shown. Never free, never me, so I dub the unforgiven. So obviously that's not a hymn. Actually, it's by Metallica. Probably doesn't get sung much in churches. Seems a bit too negative, doesn't it? But then think of one like this. Then woe is me, poor child, for thee, and ever morn and day, for thy parting, neither say nor see. Bye, bye, lolly, lolly. Or another great church song. I wonder as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor, ornery people like you and like I. I wonder as I wander out under the sky. Oh yes, the blues have a place in the church. Never mind the devil's music. It's a very different experience, isn't it, from He is mighty, He is worthy, etc. Does it move you more? I can't say it moves me more, but of course different people are moved by different music. Not everybody gets moody to Metallica. And you need different things at different times. Life is a river with many currents. Sometimes it's clear and smooth, sometimes it's turbulent, sometimes it's deep and dark. And we all resonate to different pitches, like guitar strings or glasses. Ironically, musical taste, like all aesthetic taste, is individual. But you know, we couldn't transcend if we didn't have anything to transcend. Going beyond requires something to go beyond. Music touches us in our individual hearts and souls, and it flows through us. Our lives are poured out. We open. We exalt. We sing. We sing hymn number 200, O Holy Spirit, by whose breath.